meeting with the special magistrate of the municipal code enforcement on Thursday, April 26, 2012. If everybody would stand with me and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I will approve the minutes from last time's code enforcement meeting. And if the, Madam Clerk, if you want to swear in the officers.
Do you swear affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Your Honor, if it please the magistrate, I'd state for the record that Dwayne Thomas, Matt Leibfried, Charles Rich, Dan Baker, James Vaux, and Ray Furring all accepted the pledge. Yep. Okay.
All right, and do you have a certain order you would like to call things for?
Yes, sir. Please, magistrate, good morning. My name is Charles Rich with the City of Ocala Code Enforcement. I am the appointed code enforcement manager. I'm certified by the Florida Associated Code Enforcement and certified in all four levels of training. I've been the code enforcement manager for more than 4 years. I have 30 years law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this morning. Please, magistrate, we do have a couple of petitions that we could go to, and they're on page 5 of your agenda. First one would be City of Ocala versus John LaBeouf, CEB 080255, and if you observe that petition in your petition section, if you're able to follow with me there, what we've done is place a copy of the case photos, the code case cost sheet, and the petition individually. The petition covers all of the liens on that property, which is what we asked them to do. So the next three cases after that are the additional cases mentioned in their petition. They are requesting a reduction of the fine. I'll let you read that through the petition. They were previously turned down in their reduction request. I think primarily because they did not address all of the liens attached to the property. They were previously addressing just one. And although this is not typical of what we would, their offer is not typical of what we would accept in a case of this nature, I would point out that only two of these violations occurred on their particular group's watch. And typically the fine would probably add up to about $10,000, would be about the least that we would reduce it to. However, we believe they've made a decent effort and a decent offer in this case. The city would support the magistrate unless you had some other particular reason why you did not want to reduce it as low as what is typically done. And they do have representation here.
Okay.
That would like to speak on this matter as well.
Okay. If everybody will just give me a half second to catch up, that would be great.
No problem.
Okay. So just so that I understand, there are four cases and they all involve the same property?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
From 22nd Avenue. It's a property that we had quite a bit of problem with over the years.
Is that the shortcut from Laurel Run over to Fort King?
Yes, sir. 1609 okay, Southeast 22nd Avenue.
Okay, it's there.
You're
on the right.
Familiar with that property?
Yeah, I've driven past that one. Okay. All right. Let me just pull up. Okay, so 825.
I'm assuming the previous owner's completely out of it now.
Yes, the property's been hit.
So, just so I understand, the underlying, it appears from the photographs, are the standing water, the pool, the overgrowth.
And the property registration. Yes, sir.
Property registration. And this all occurred over a period of how long of a period of time?
About 3 years, from 2008 through 2011.
Okay. 065. Look up 025. That's 146. 1045. Okay. And it appears to me that the fines total somewhere. Okay, and then there were 9,900. Hold on a second. That's a quick math. 9,900.
Two of them were for a little over 9,000. Another one was a little bit less, so that would have been about 18.
23,500 dollars somewhere,
yes,
in that neighborhood. Okay. Okay, I will hear from whoever wants to come speak.
Mr. Glenn Banner, representative for the respondent.
Good morning, magistrate.
Sir. Yes, sir.
If
you could just state your name and address for the record. Are you counsel for company? Okay.
Yes, Magistrate. My name is Glenn Banner. I'm with the law firm Henshaw & Culbertson in Jacksonville, Florida, and we represent the interests of Round Point Mortgage. They're the mortgage servicer for the subject property. A couple of issues that I'd like to address while we have the opportunity to be heard are that the mortgage servicer was not involved with the property with regard to the initial citation in 2008. The second citation with the substantial fine of $9,800 is case number 1450. The service of that order was only served upon the owner, Mr. LaBeouf, and the mortgage servicer was not served on that petition in that case. My client recently became involved in this matter in the summer of 2011 when it was informed about case number 0965. At that point, they had their property preservation department get involved. They remedied the issue with the pool. The property is subject to now an autograft cycle. A maintenance cycle as the property is currently vacant. I am unaware, my client does not know when the owner vacated the premises. Obviously, my client has a vested interest in keeping the properties that there's a mortgage on in compliance with code violations. If they would have known about the previous cases, obviously they would have stepped in and got property preservation involved. As soon as they became aware they'd done so, the property is currently in compliance. I believe future code compliance issues will probably not be an issue as it is being monitored by my client. I'd like to thank Mr. Rich and the city for working with us. I think we've made a good faith offer considering the circumstances, and we'd like the magistrate and the city of Ocala to consider our offer.
Okay, and so from what I understand you're saying, the initial case was 10-14-50. At which point you had not filed for foreclosure at that point?
No, it goes back a little bit before that. There was a CEB08 case that was prior to their involvement.
Okay. Just so I understand the timeline, when did you file for foreclosure?
The foreclosure proceedings were commenced on August 30th of 2011. So the foreclosure proceedings are relatively recent.
Okay, so, and then so the 08 case occurred while you're while the underlying owner owned the property, is that correct, Mr. Rich?
It was the underlying property owner and the previous financial institutions.
Okay, and okay, so 08 was for the previous financial, so you're a new servicer?
Yes, Round Point became the servicer, to my understanding, approximately October of 2009.
Okay. Is the mortgage, the underlying mortgage holder still the same from
the mortgage life? Holder is the same, but unfortunately,
okay.
You know how it is with the paperwork right now.
I understand, okay. But the underlying person who owned the debt and mortgage has remained constant. He has just decided to choose different servicers?
Yes, magistrate.
Okay. Okay. And so in 08, the current servicer and the property owner were informed, and that was a violation of?
Same offenses, Your Honor.
Same offenses, okay. Okay, and then we went to 010-469. Is that the next case we went to?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then who was...
Same offenses there.
And the same two groups were informed?
Yes.
Okay. And then we come to...
And then we had the new servicer get involved with us, and we worked with them to resolve the last two violations. That's why I felt that their responsibility was fairly minimal initially, but as Round Point got involved, they stepped up to the plate and helped us in getting taken care of.
the officer in this case is here. He had a little more contact direct with Round Point. At one time, there was a little confusion about getting it on the routine cut list. They had a little problem getting a vendor in there to take care of the pool and things of that nature, which caused the repeat violator fine to increase, which resulted in, I believe, the $9,800 fine.
Okay. Well, just so that I understand, we've got 08, we have a different servicer, we have a $25 day fine. It took him 52 days to be compliant.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we have 4 days at $500 per day for them to, I guess, become compliant, and that would have been 10-469.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we have 10-1450, which, when did that all occur?
I'll have to look at
sure.
The QS number online here. Case, if you wanted to flip over on your with your blue box there to the other button, start on 8. I'm sorry. I believe opened on 8/30/2010.
Okay, and that's still before your servicer.
My servicer was involved then, but they were not aware of this violation, and the order that imposed the fine and lien only copied Mr. LaBeouf, did not copy the mortgage holder or servicer. That order. When they became aware of that order was when I was working with Mr. Rich to remedy the case number that ends in 0965.
Okay. All right. And this is all prior to your doing a foreclosure action?
Yes, the foreclosure was commenced in late August of 2011.
Okay. So, Mr. Rich, you wouldn't routinely for just a code violation notice the servicer?
If we had known that a foreclosure process had been initiated or was being contemplated, we would. But in this case, we were dealing with the respondent who said, you know, well, I'll get over there, I'll take care of it, blah, 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 and then just never acted.
Okay.
And because they didn't have a foreclosure notice.
There was no list pendants filed. There was no notice of the public records of the foreclosure.
Right, sir. That's why we were unable to do our routine process in this.
Okay.
Situation.
Okay. And then somebody explained to me, okay, then the servicer got involved somewhere in the middle of this 1450 case.
Correct.
And then somehow we wound up with a 2011 case. How did that happen, come about?
Please, Magistrate. Actually, my client did not become involved until the 0965 case. They became aware of the 1450 case when they were working with the city on the 0965 case.
Okay, so 0965 is the first time everybody's telling me that the servicer actually became actively involved in the case itself. And that was subsequent to its mortgage foreclosure filing.
Yes.
I'm going to guess. Okay. Okay. All right. And what is the relief you're is it Mr. Banner?
Yes, Minister.
What is the relief you're looking for?
The relief we're seeking, there is a $125 administrative cost associated with each case. Two of the cases, case number 10-1450, has a hard cost of $269.55 for work completed by the city, and case number that ends with 0965 has a $289.77. Costs for work completed by the city. The total hard costs for the city are $1,059.32. That's including the administrative costs. My client is offered $5,000 plus the city's hard costs for a total to release the fines and liens connected to the property, a payment of $6,059.32.
Okay. Now, the city then, the case in which the servicer became involved, 965, the city had to take some remedial action?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the servicer didn't get around to it, or?
I believe that we cut, I can ask Officer Vo, I believe we cut the property, but we did not remedy the pool because they were, they informed us they would.
Okay, and so I've heard what the, where are you in the foreclosure process?
Give me one moment to review the docket, okay?
Sure.
My firm is not handling the foreclosure, it's being handled by a different law firm. However, the recent case docket indicates that the last activity, it looks like the judge was reassigned, and from reviewing the docket, it looks like service upon the individual defendants has been difficult. So it looks like the case has not really moved along much since the initial list pendant and complaint was filed on August 30th, 2011.
Okay. Are we, is the servicer registered with the city?
Yes, they did complete a registration.
Okay, and have we had problems since this last case?
No, sir, we haven't received any additional neighborhood complaints.
Okay, so we're upkeeping. Okay, so is there anything else you'd like me to know, Mr. Banner?
No, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be heard.
Okay, we appreciate you coming down from Jacksonville. Mr. Rich, what's the city's position on this matter?
Although it's a little bit lower than what we would consistently achieve in these cases, I think that Round Point is now taking care of the house, which is, of course, our goal is compliance.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a fair offer, I believe, in consideration of their involvement in the situation. Initially, they believed they only had one particular lien out there. They've worked with me to resolve all of the liens on this particular property. In light of their cooperation and their ability to probably get this moving, hopefully in the near future, where they can make this a productive property again, it's in a very good location. I think that at some point this will be a productive property for the city again. I think that their offer is fair, and the city would move to accept that.
But this is much lower than we would normally do.
Yes, sir, it is.
What we would what
normally
would,
this would be about $10,000.
Okay, normally about $10,000.
Yes, sir, would be what the city would be asking for, because generally we would move to reduce the the cases to a total of 5,000 apiece.
I'm sorry,
5,000.
Normally we would move
the two larger to 5,000 each,
yes, sir,
and then waive the other two. Okay. Mr. Banner, what is the time schedule in which your client can pay these monies?
I think reasonably would be within 15 days, no longer than 30 days. I mean, it's a corporate client, but I think he can get it expedited if that was a mitigating factor in getting a resolution.
Okay. Is there anything else after hearing what Mr. Rich has to say that you want me to know about the case?
No, I didn't think we covered it all.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to reduce the fine down to $7,500 plus the administrative and hard costs of the city if paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, no reduction in the fine whatsoever. Okay?
All right, and just for the record, so I'm clear, so it's instead of 5,000, it's going to be 7,500 plus the hard costs?
Yes, sir.
Within 30 days?
Yes, sir. And that's given that the city has pled your case for you here today, I mean, I've got to be fair with what we do consistently with everybody else, but we appreciate your wanting to take action and taking action here in the city. Unfortunately, your mortgage holder accumulated some fines beforehand, but that is a risk that mortgage holders take. As you're aware, that sort of goes part and parcel with that sort of business. So.
And I believe that's reasonable and fair, and I appreciate everybody's cooperation and attention. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for coming down today.
Thank you. Magistrate, thank you.
Thank you.
We do have another petitioner here. Police magistrate, I'd like to move on with that case.
Certainly.
ZCM 08 0357,
That's just in the middle of page 5 on the agenda. This is a case involving the City of Ocala versus Basilio Rodriguez, 114 Spring Rock Road, Waterbury, Connecticut, a case location within the city at 1632 West Silver Springs Boulevard, and this is for a violation of section 122.50.51, a case involving Officer Dan Baker, who's here. As part of your presentation today, we've included copies of the case cost sheet, case photos, and a previous petition that was approved by the magistrate reducing the fine. The respondent was called me and was unable to pay that whole fine within the time constraints indicated by the magistrate. He indicated that he could pay the fine, but he needed additional time. Then, I asked him to please submit a petition. He did, and has requested additional relief from the original $5,000, as it appears to me. The city would be opposed to additional relief, being that the relief he sought initially was considerable and considerably reduced by the magistrate. However, the city would be willing to entertain some additional time for him to make some payments. And he's here and prepared to plead his case.
I'm sorry?
His father is here to plead his case. Okay, I don't know that he has standing there. Did he get a letter to speak for the owner? I'll let him speak to that.
Okay. Just real quick here. My understanding is that the fine was reduced to $5,000 if paid within 30 days or
yes,
reverted to the original amount. And the original amount was?
I'm going to get that for you right now. The original amount was $30,225 even. We included a copy of the case photos for the previous case. I know we don't need to do that, but what we had there was a lot of unpermitted work. We had an addition of a kitchen on the back with some additional plumbing, electrical work, as indicated in the photographs. Totally contrary to what the code would allow in any way, shape, or form. And, we have open wire. They have just a lot of problems with getting the compliance achieved. They have brought it into compliance currently, and they did receive a reduction, but apparently they want additional.
Okay. So if I'm correct here, the time is not yet expired for within which to pay the 30-day fine because it was approved on the 29th of March. So they
correct.
Have to the 29th of this month, I would guess. And okay. All right. If there's anybody who'd like to come speak on this issue,
the city would just like to indicate for the record that if this is not the owner, typically he would have to have some kind of a letter notarized from the owner to speak on his behalf.
Okay.
But normally you can hear anything you'd like to hear.
Okay. All right. Sir, if you want to speak, come forward. I need you to state your name and record for the name and address for the record and be sworn in by the clerk.
Good morning. My name is Mr. Basilio Rodriguez Sr. and I reside at 46 Palm Road in Ocala. And I'm here to represent my son, which resides in Waterbury, Connecticut. His name is Basilio Rodriguez Jr.
Okay, if somebody could swear him in.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear from the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Sir, Mr. Rich, I don't know if you have a formal objection relative to him speaking on the behalf of the property owner today. I mean, he can obviously speak as a member of the public about this matter.
Yes, sir.
So that's my understanding. What would you like me to know, sir?
Well, I'd just like to state, originally when the and the court enforcement went down to my son's building. We had rented a place to a church, Pentecostal church there, and they went and built, added, you know, like a roof back of the building with our consent. We didn't know about it. When I heard about it, I spoke to the court enforcement. They told me if I didn't want to get no fines to, you know, to tear it down, and I did. Within 3 days' time, I went down there and teared it, whatever it was they did down, but I guess they never took it out of the record. And
okay, so I'm going to object at this time because we're not here to rehear a previous case. Mm-hmm. We're here to answer the questions that they have in regards to their petition. Now, if we do want to rehear the whole case over, we have an officer here, we can represent evidence, but that's not the purpose of this cause here.
Okay.
We would dispute his allegations of what he's done to bring this property into compliance, properly into compliance.
Okay, well, past few weeks, I got a general contractor down to the building, try to correct a couple of things, you know, like electrical and look at the walls. And at this point, you know, my son had two operations in his arms, and he's not employed right now. His house burned down in Waterbury last month, and he doesn't have the funds. The only funds that he had, he put in the building to try to get up to code so he could rent the place, because we can't know with the place to rent it, as you know, you well know.
Well, if somebody can enlighten me, I was not here for the March 29th hearing. That was Mr. Tro, it appears. Had some insight into, was someone here on behalf of the petitioner?
No, sir.
In March? Okay, so the petition just came before the magistrate.
Yes.
As the petition, it is there. Okay. And then Mr. Tro granted them 30 days. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And my understanding, has any payment been made on this?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay. And Mr. Rodriguez, what I'm hearing you saying is the entire payment can't be made of $5,000 within the 30 days. Is that correct?
No, sir. I spoke to my son, and I believe he stated that he could probably, you know, it was reduced like $1,200. He's going to try to see if he can get the money. As we had a tenant that wanted to rent the facility here, and she was willing to lend him the money out of the rent. But at this point right now, we don't know what we're going to do, being that we can't really rent the building until we get approval.
Right. Okay. Well, what's the city's position on this, Mr. Rich?
Well, it's interesting that they sent us pictures of their house burning down in Waterbury, Connecticut, for unknown reasons, when they have all kinds of electrical code violations at their place on West State Road 40. To me, that's very interesting. If it's indicative of the kind of work that they're gonna accept being done in their buildings, and here we are, we're still trying to get building permit and approval from the electrical inspector of the work that's done years later. So that needs to be removed. He said he's torn it all down, taken it all out. We haven't had a reinspection done by the electrical inspector, if I'm correct.
Not to my knowledge. I do know that.
As we last checked, and as he's kind of alleging to here, he needs to get the work done and get an inspection from them. He's got a GC on board. These are all improvements towards the end goal. I agree with him. He's trying to work at this point to get that done so they can properly get the building rented. But I think our original reduction from 30,000 to 5,000 was a significant reduction on the part of the other magistrate, and the city feels that is all it should be reduced to.
Okay. And so my understanding, Mr. Rodriguez, is you're still trying to get the property into compliance. Is that correct?
Well, sir, we had a contractor in the building, and he worked with Tyrone. We had Florida Power Electric, go inside here and get the wiring and put a new, panel box and everything. And the electrical was approved because the lights was turned on for 15 days.
That's a sin, right?
Well.
Actually, they were inside here. They had us knock out the walls in the property, in the inside, so they could look at the walls. In the front, the walls were ripped out, and they require, I guess, the contractor had a termite inspector go in there and spray the walls inside the walls, and he stated that, you know, everything could be put back together, and the only problem that we're, you know, right now is paying the fine so that we can have the lights turned back on and rent the property so we can start, you know, paying the mortgage company and pay the city, you know, the taxes that is owed also, because the building is behind on taxes. At this point, we can't really do nothing with the building unless we get a tenant inside the building.
I would submit that our fine has no bearing on what the building department's going to be requiring to have the power turned back on. It's just a lien. It's going to sit there.
Okay. Well, from what I hear everybody telling me is the property's not in compliance. Okay. Since the property is not in compliance, normally we consider a reduction of fines once a property is brought back into compliance. The fine is a lien against the property as of right now. My other magistrate granted you 30 days within which to reduce the fine to $5,000 on the initial petition. I'm disinclined to grant this subsequent petition whatsoever, but with a caveat that once the property is in compliance, once the city knows it's in compliance, then I think it would be appropriate to come back and say, we couldn't pay the $5,000 then. Can you let us have an opportunity to petition again? That he's still available, Mr. Rich, unless I'm mistaken, is after the property's in compliance to bring this back for the magistrate?
Well, it's brought into compliance by virtue of the fact that they've obtained a building permit.
Okay.
So they have 180 days to comply with that building permit, or it will expire.
Okay.
And then it would not be.
So we are in compliance with the code violation?
With the violation that we currently have on file.
Okay. All right. And then okay. All right.
What we would do is if they don't get it taken care of within the 180 days and the permit expires, then we would bring them back as a repeat violator at a $500 a day fine.
Okay. All right. Okay. What's the city's position on a payment plan of this $5,000?
Well, I think that the city would be, due to the circumstances, the city would not object to, you know, if they could do two payments at $2,500 or three payments, but we're firm on the $5,000.
Okay. Mr. Rodriguez, what I hear the city saying is that the city has reduced, or the magistrate has reduced the fine from the city. That was $30,000 to $5,000. Okay. The city is open to the idea of a payment plan on that $5,000, giving you more time within which to make that payment. If I were to do so, since the property is now in compliance, what I'm hearing, if I gave you another 60 days within which to make the total $5,000 payment. Is that an achievable goal? You have $1,200 now you can pay, from what I hear you saying. And then it would be a matter of coming up with the additional $3,800 over the next 60 days. So what I'd be inclined to do is to order, let's see, today's the 20, order you. Well, I guess to a certain extent, I have to amend the magistrate's prior order.
You'd be creating an amendment to the previous order.
All right. What I would be inclined to do is amend the prior order that $1,200 must be paid by May 5th. Or May 6th. My calendar's not here.
The 3rd is the 2nd, so.
What's the Monday?
The Tuesday.
I'm looking.
The 5th
the 7th. Let's say May 7th. Okay, all right. So my inclination is to order that $1,200 must be paid by May 7th. Okay. Another $1,200 must be paid by June 7th. Another $1,200 must be paid by August 7th. And then the final $800 must be paid by September 7th. And if you make all those timely payments, the final stay reduced at $5,000. Does that city have any comments on that plan?
No, sir. City's amenable to the plan.
Okay. All right, Mr. Rodriguez, that's what I'm going to order. Okay. Now remember that if in the interim you don't also take care of these other problems under the building permit, you'll be back here in front of us again and we'll be fining you at $500 a day. Okay?
Sir.
Okay, but that's a payment plan for you. Okay?
Appreciate it, sir.
Okay? All right. Anything further on this matter?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good
day. Would you have representation in an additional case? Please, magistrate, I'd like to go to that case now.
That's CON 120122 on page 4 of your agenda.
122, you said?
Yes, sir. This is the city of Ocala. Give me just a minute here. I need to catch up to my paperwork. The city of Ocala versus Robert John Noraki, a case involving Officer James Vo, the city of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, a location of 4204 Southeast 8th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 122.1193, park trailers, commercial vehicles, residential area, trailer storage prohibited. The parcel ID is 2956-001-011. All certified mail has been returned and we legally posted the property on 3-5-2012 for the notice of violation and 4-11-2012 for the notice of hearing, as is authorized by the board and the magistrate. The summary of findings that Officer James Vo located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code in that a boat and trailer have been parked in the driveway on the side of the home. Additional investigation by Officer Vo revealed the respondent has had other cases for the same violation. However, they were brought into compliance prior to the hearing. It's my interpretation that one, the utility trailer has been brought into compliance by being moved into the back. However, the boat has not. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. The staff recommendation in this case would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 122.1193 in order to 1. Remove all unauthorized boats, trailers within 7 days, and 2. Pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 30 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to remove the unauthorized trailer utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-profit or non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. As part of your presentation, I've included photographs in the presentation of the boat being parked in what would be an unauthorized area in the city of Ocala. Okay. There is a respondent here to answer to this case. Okay. And Officer Vo is prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Officer Vo, you observed the violation of city code?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the violation as shown in the photographs in the case?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, I'll hear from whoever's here. Good morning, sir. If you can state your name and address for the record and be sworn in by the clerk.
My name is Robert Naraki. I'm the owner of the property, and I own the boat. And
okay, if you could just state your address for the record.
4204 Southeast 8th Street, Ocala, Florida.
Okay, and the clerk needs to swear you in.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. What would you like me to know?
I have the boat up for sale. There's no place for me to put the boat. It won't fit in the backyard. I have a boat port. Mm-hmm. The way the property is constructed, there's no way to put it. have the boat up for sale at this time, and I'm trying to sell it. I'm just looking for you guys to be working with me a little bit to get it. There's a for sale sign has been on it. A couple people that are interested in it. And there's so many properties that have boats alongside their house that, I mean, I'm trying to work with you guys and trying to comply. I'm just looking for some time, and you guys say, yeah, I know the officer that has been out to the house. You can see my house is no wreck. It's a very nice place. I keep it very well manicured. I don't think it's an eyesore. It's very hard to see the boat. Literally, you can't hardly see it from driving from the east to the west because of the hedge. It's not in front of my yard. I hope you can still see pictures of it, where it's at. I've got pictures of different angles. It's not looking at that as an excuse to keep it there. Mm-hmm. I'm just wanting you to know that I'm trying to sell it. And I don't feel we've got a big problem here. I'm hoping to have it gone within maybe 30 days. I have some possible buyers. And if I could put it somewhere, if I could afford to put it somewhere, I would. But I just can't. I don't have the money to do that. And I hope you'd look at it, see what it really is. It's. I'm working with you guys here.
Okay. Well, just so you understand, the fact that there's other folks in violation of the city code doesn't solve your violation of the city code. And those folks can be equally cited as well of a complaint. City code would go up. They would come here the same way, as same as you do. So it's not that you're being picked on in any sort of way. Everybody's in violation. If folks are in violation, they'll come before the code board, and it'll be dealt with accordingly. My understanding, Officer Vo, I gather this case started about 30 days ago. Is that correct?
I'd have to check. I think it was longer than that.
I mean, all the postings and hearings were in March.
Yes.
There's been some time extensions granted already.
Okay. So the first code violation occurred in January of this year?
Right. If you look at the case details, you can see when it was open and what have you. We opened the case on 1/19/2012. Officer Vo has completed a significant number of inspections, as you can see there, attempting to work with the respondent to get it resolved. Okay. Most folks have just put the boat in the backyard. He has another trailer in the backyard. That alleviates the violation altogether. I would point out, for the record, being that it was brought up by the respondent, that unfortunately, we have cited hundreds of boats throughout the past few years, and generally we do achieve compliance. But this is not unlike many cities in the state of Florida, and in the nation for that matter, that have the same violation in their code.
Okay. And so, Noraki?
Yes, sir.
Is I pronounced that right? You can't remove the boat to the backyard?
No, sir. The way the property is laid out, it goes down the hill, and there's already a boat port back there. And honestly, when I bought this boat, it was a matter of trying to make some revenue, and the economy's just not cooperating with me, and I'm trying to sell it. I reduced the price to almost a giveaway price, and I have every intention of trying to cooperate with everybody. The officer that I've spoken with a couple times has been very nice to me. I mean, I'm just looking for a little bit more time. You guys work with me a little bit. I have every intention of trying to do what you wish to do. I want you to keep in mind that it's not. I take a lot of pride in my home. I guess you can see that by the pictures. And I would not have an eyesore out there. So you guys can just help me out a little bit here. I promise you cooperate and get this resolved. Just give me a little more time. I think the season of the year is going to work to my behalf. So, and I do have it advertised in the papers and under O'Doul. I have it in OcalaForSale.com. So I'm doing what I can. Please help me here.
What's the city's position on?
Of course, you know, we do want it resolved. I would tend to feel that in light of his testimony needing a little more time, if the city could be agreeable to some additional time, okay, if that can assist. However, now we have had to come for a hearing, so the city would like an order granting the additional time. Maybe we could tie these up to have it all resolved within 30 days rather than just the 7 and the 30, if that would work for him. That gives him, you know, an additional 4 weeks.
That's okay. What's the cost assessed at the time the city's looking to be paid?
I'll have to look at the affidavit. It's just adjacent to the case notes. The affidavit of case prosecution cost currently is at $197.57. That's what the city has. It's all enumerated there. The inspections, the paperwork, the filing, and recording costs, the postage, it's all listed.
Okay. Do you understand what the city's requesting, Shinori?
No, I kind of was hoping. I guess I was under the impression that if I could get the boat gone before this date, all this would go away. That's what I understood. I didn't understand anything other than that. And now I was looking to just buy a little bit more time. I was hoping that you would just give me a little bit more time to get the boat out. I'm take it down to the end of the street. I've got it for sale. Instead of just relying on my front yard, take it down to 36th Avenue. So I didn't know that there was any cost involved in any of this. I didn't know. I was aware.
I'm going to object to him taking it down to the end of 36th Avenue. That's going to cause another violation,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the scenario and situation. The city expends money to enforce their code violations, and they come out a few times. They've written you letters. It's been 90 days since they first had contact with you about this, and the violation hasn't gotten cured. That's the reason you're here today, okay? Because it's taken a period of time. They give you a time period within which to cure it. Eventually, if not, then they come before a magistrate, and they, at which point the city requests that its costs be recouped because of the effort they have to put into going forward and getting into compliance. My understanding from you is you're looking for additional time within which to be able to remove the boat because you can't store it in your backyard. My inclination is to give you 45 days within which to remove the boat and bring the property back into compliance and to pay the $197.57 administrative cost to the city, okay? Failing which, a fine of $25 a day will accrue until you're brought back into compliance.
I wasn't aware that there was any cost in here. Was there anything that I got that said that there was anything in this? I mean,
well, what happens is if it's brought into compliance without coming to a hearing, then Chapter 162.07, Paragraph 2 doesn't apply.
I understand.
Of Florida law. After it's brought to a hearing and it's been heard, then Chapter 162.07, subparagraph 2 of Florida law applies, which says we shall recover costs involved in the investigation and prosecution of the case. So that's what we are complying with, is state law.
Money's tight. That's what this is all about.
And I understand that, and I sympathize with that, but I have to award the city its cost and administrative costs. They're generally very well and take payments on it over time. That's a general rule. It will become a lien after 45 days if it's not paid within 45 days.
Did you guys cut it in half for me? I mean, I'm desperate here. Will you take a $100 fine, give me the 45 days, and I promise I'll do everything I can to get this out, but I can't afford this.
Well, does the city have a position on that?
I would leave that to the magistrate's discretion based upon testimony given.
Okay. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you some relief. If you do it within 30 days and pay the $100 in full, I'll only assess $100 for cost for the city. I will order you to remove it within 30 days, failing which all costs will be assessed and a fine of $25 per day in the city to use any method necessary to remedy the violation, and all fines and costs will be assessed as a lien. After 90 days, it'll be referred to the city attorney for consideration of foreclosure.
So if I pay $100 today, we're clear, and I just got 30 days to have the boat out?
You have 30 days to remove the boat.
All right.
But I don't believe the city will be prepared to take the $100 today.
Well, we're all here now.
Okay.
But when we're back in our office,
okay.
So if he wanted to
wait till about Monday. You go down.
If you could just give me something, and I'll put it in the mail, and I'll mail it to you.
They'll be sending you something.
Okay.
You'll be getting a copy of that.
All right.
Yeah.
Get the boat gone.
I'm doing what I can. I mean, the boat was bought because I'm can't survive on a job.
I understand.
I mean, I got a job. I've had a job, but it's just not enough. I mean, it costs taxes on the house. I mean, everything else is going up except what I make. I mean,
I understand. Well, good luck to you. I hope it sells.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda. If you go to page 2 of the agenda, CUM 120259. This case, the City of Ocala versus Phoenix Programs of Florida, Inc., 6604 Harney Road, Suite B, Tampa, Florida. A case involving Officer Dan Baker, City of Ocala Code Enforcement Department, an address location within the city at 936 East Fort King Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 122-1198, Assisted Living Facilities and Transitional Recovery Facilities. The parcel ID is 28362-039-06. Legal services obtained 2/9/2012 for the notice of violation and 4/16/2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 2/7/2012 for the NOV, 2/8/2012, and 4/11/2012 for a revised NOH. As part of the correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the Sundays report, a voided business tax certificate, and the complaint email that was received from the complainant. The summary of findings are that Officer Dan Baker responded to this location due to complaint, and upon arrival, observed what appeared to be transitional recovery facility as was reported in violation of the city's code. Officer Baker noticed the owner who contacted Officer Baker. However, no satisfactory arrangement has been able to be achieved, and the respondent is still in violation of the code. The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 122-1198 in order to, 1, remove all unauthorized persons and discontinue the unauthorized business at the location within 30 days, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. I would point out that's the second time I've said non-profit this morning. I apologize. We have included photographs, and Officer Baker can testify to the situation as it exists out there now.
Officer Baker?
Yes, sir.
What can you tell me about the violation here and what's going on?
The scenario works like this. Unfortunately, Phoenix Programs did at one time operate a transitional recovery facility at that location, and it was a permitted use during that time frame. 2007, City Council changed the ordinance prohibiting transitional recovery facilities allowed within the historic district. Mm-hmm. On the invalid tax certificate notes that are in the case, I'm going to say it was 2007 that they disbanded and left. Mm-hmm. Property went up for sale, mm-hmm. and then they came back in 2011 and inserted three recovering addicts into the back of the property, which generated a complaint. Unfortunately, that permitted use had expired as that change of the ordinance in 2007. Once they left out of there, they were no longer allowed to come back. They did contact me as soon as I posted the property. I explained the ordinance, I explained the new code, and here we are today. My last inspection reflected that there was somebody still there. I can't tell you how. My initial inspection was there were three people living in there as transitioning addicts. I spoke with one gentleman by the name of Ron who was there. He provided me with all of the information and testimony that I'm giving you now. My last inspection, there was nobody at the physical residence at that time, but the evidence still implied with the TV and the cigarette butts in the ashtray and the barbecue grill out in the front yard that they are still occupying there as a recovery center.
Okay. And what's the city's proposal if they continue to occupy other than a fine?
Just a running fine. We would hope that
and this
at some point with the threat of foreclosure of the running fine after 90 days that, you know, they're going to do something differently there.
Okay. And the fine is the maximum fine allowable on this?
No, sir. The maximum fine allowable here would be $250.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll find the respondent guilty of violating Section 122-1198, order them to remove all unauthorized person and discontinue the unauthorized business at the residence within 15 days, and pay the cost of prosecutions of the cases assessed all within 15 days, failing which a fine of $250 per day with all costs and fines assessed as a lien after 90 days of non-payment referred to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Thank you. If it pleases the magistrate, we'd move on to the next case. COM 120367. This is a case, the City of Ocala versus Saharo Land Company, LLP, Roadrunner, Mower and Cycle, and Ocala Mower and Cycle. A case involving Officer Dan Baker, City of Ocala Code Enforcement Department. And the address, now you got me started. The address location of 3129 Northeast 14th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3032, enforcement of Section 3430-3035, assessment of false alarm fees. The partial ID is 26770-000-00. Legal service was obtained on 2/21/2012 for the notice of violation, and we have received just a return receipt on the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 4/10/2012 for the notice of violation and 4/10/2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the budget and finance letter indicating the violations. Officer Dan Baker received this complaint from the finance division of the city advising that this business has outstanding alarm fees which have not been paid in violation of the code. Officer Baker responded to the business location, observed they are not in business at this location, and left word for them to contact him concerning the incident. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the response remedy this violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. The staff recommendation be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3035 and order to 1, pay the cost of the false alarm fees as assessed by the Finance and Budget Department of the City of Ocala based upon information from the police and fire departments, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution in the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which all fees and costs assessed as a lien after 90 days of non-payment refer to the City Attorney's Office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Baker is here and prepared to testify in this case. And I would point out for the record that we do not have a respondent present.
Okay. And this is, just because I'm still getting used to it, these are the fire alarm violations.
These fire and police alarms.
Violations that you used to collect somewhere else and now you've brought back to the magistrate for collection.
Under the code, it is the magistrate's ability to hear these cases. And therefore, we did grant relief from anything prior to 2007. By resolution of the City Council.
Okay.
So now we're seeking everything that's due and owing to the city. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of leeway in the code if it's properly recorded and, you know, beginning on page 34 of your presentation, we have a copy of the actual invoice and a copy of the report for the police department.
Okay, and so, yes, that was what I was looking for. What are we looking to be paid?
$1,175 is total due, but I'm trying to just determine for you quickly how many cases there were here. You know, I was going to ask Officer Baker for that. There are a significant number of false alarms. You know, and that, of course, causes police units to have to be responding from all over the
sure.
city, and the same with the fire units.
Okay,
and
so
you can see even number of vehicles that OPD dispatched and the times that they were dispatched. It's very significantly documented.
Okay, and so we're looking to, it's $1,100 in fines?
I believe it was $1,175.
$1,175.
Okay.
First page
of the letter from finance.
Yeah, that's spreadsheet.
Okay, and Officer Baker, you've reviewed these records of the city and in your capacity as a code enforcement officer and record keeping?
Yes.
For the city? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And you're familiar with how the city keeps its records, and these are accurate records of?
Yes, sir. I'm in direct communication with the police department, the fire department, and the finance department on all of the false alarm cases and the documentation and how it's presented before it comes to us to present to you.
Okay. Okay, I'll find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3035, order to pay the cost of the false alarm fees as assessed by the Finance and Budget Department of the City of Ocala based upon information from the police and fire departments, and pay for the costs of prosecution of the cases all assessed all within 30 days, failing which all fees and costs are assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the City Attorney's Office for consideration of foreclosure.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda. If it pleases the magistrate, in the middle of page 3 of your docket there, COM 120226. This is a case involving Officer Raymond Furring of the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Department. The case is the City of Ocala versus 8th Street Church of God. Harvey Robinson as agent. And the address location is the 700 block of Northwest 8th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 34-122, the definition of an abandoned and derelict vehicle, and Section 34-121 and Section 34-122, abandoned or derelict vehicles. The parcel ID is 2570-102-040. Legal service was obtained on 3-9-2012 for the NOV, and the NOH was returned. We posted the property for the NOH on 3-15-2012. The summary findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it contains derelict vehicle. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, at the end of the presentation, we've included photographs of the vehicle in question. The staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 34-122, and order to 1, remove all abandoned, untagged, inoperable vehicles, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Furring is prepared to testify for the magistrate this morning. Answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Officer Ferry, you observed the violations?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have you had any success getting a hold of the folks involved with this here?
No, sir.
Is there any tags on this car?
No, sir.
Okay. And is this a vacant lot?
It's a vacant lot.
Okay. And we haven't had any luck getting a hold of anybody. Okay. All right. Thank you,
sir. I would point
sir.
Out for the record that there is no one from the respondent in audience today.
I'm sorry?
No one for the respondent in audience today.
Certainly. Okay. I'll find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 34-122, order to remove all abandoned, untagged, inoperable vehicles and pay the cost of prosecution of the case all as assessed, all within 7 days, failing which a fine of $25 per day in the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city's attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda at the bottom of page 3. Pardon me, the docket on the bottom of page 3. CON 120357, a case involving Officer Raymond Furring, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. The City of Ocala versus John A. Samuel, 504 Southwest 14th Street, Ocala, Florida. A violation address of 712 Northwest 8th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly unsanitary matter, and Section 82181 and Section 82182. The definition and the code involving a dangerous building declared nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 2570-101-006. Legal service was obtained on 2/17/2012, 3/29/2012 for the revised NOV, and 3/13/2012 and 3/29/2012 for the revised NOH. We posted the property on 3/2/2012, 3/24/2012 for the revised notice of violation, and 3/13/2012, 3/27/2012 for the revised notice of hearing. As part of his investigation, Officer Furring requested a structural inspection, which we have included. We've also included in your documentation a copy of a spreadsheet of previous cases involving this respondent. And we would require a permit to repair or demolish the structure as required per the code and state law of the state of Florida. The summary of findings that Officer Raymond Furring located this property and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it contains junk and debris and is a dangerous structure. The structure is dangerous due to the dilapidated condition. Additionally, Officer Furring requested a structural evaluation and Inspector David Thompson responded, completing inspection which resulted in a score of 35 points and dilapidation requiring major restoration to bring the property up to current Florida Building Code regulations. Would point out that this structure is considerably contributing to the slum and blight of this neighborhood. All attempts by Officer Furring to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful and the violation remains. As part of the staff recommendation, staff would respectfully recommend to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495, 82181, and 82182. And over to 1, cut and clean up the property, properly removing all junk and debris. 2, respondent to obtain a building permit within 30 days to bring the residents up to all current Florida Building Code regulations within 180 days, or obtain a permit to demolish the structure within 30 days with all demolition and cleanup of the debris to be completed within 60 days. And 3, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 30 days, failing which, a fine of $25 per day and the city to do the work utilizing all means required with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. And if I may make an amendment to the staff recommendation,
sure.
I would respectfully request the magistrate to authorize a $25 per day per violation and the fact that there are two separate violations on this property, and that's okay. Consistent with what we typically do. I believe I just had a typo there.
Okay. All right. Couple questions. One, obviously there's a laundry list of for the respondents in this case. How have we been successful of them remedying violations in the past?
In the past, he has been brought before hearings before, and generally it has taken a hearing and in some cases a requirement of a lien in order to get compliance, but generally we have had success in working with him on this one. And I'll let Officer Furring testify, but I don't believe he's had any contact with you in this case.
No contact at all.
Generally he'll contact us with a rather unpleasant conversation about
okay.
how we're picking on him. But he
okay.
has several properties, mm-hmm. and I think that's what lends itself to getting him in various ties with us over the years.
Okay. Officer Rowling, you have observed the building to be in the condition in the photographs here.
Yes, sir.
And the 35 points and dilapidated requiring major restoration?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I would just point out that, for the record, that at the top of page 2 of the 10 pages, you could see that a fire occurred here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for our purposes, we would really like for him to take care of this. Obviously, I don't think there's a lot of commercial value left for him at this particular property.
Sure.
It might work for a Hollywood set of a Hillbillies movie, but it just doesn't suit the neighborhood or the houses that are around it. I'd say that this house is causing us blight and causing the neighbors a considerable problem.
Sure.
I would point out for the record that we don't have respondent here today.
Okay. I will adopt the staff recommendation, but I'm going to make the fine $50 per day per violation. Otherwise, adopt it.
Yes, sir. That'll bring us to the top of page 4. This is a case of the City of Ocala, I apologize, COM 120353. This is a case of the City of Ocala versus Huey P. McFarland Trust, a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, a location of 1948 Southwest 9th Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 23552-000-00. Legal services obtained on 3-1 and 2 of 2012 for the notice of violation, and 3-14 and 15-2012 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 2-28-2012 for the notice of violation, and 3-13-2012 for the notice of hearing. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas initially responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it contains junk and debris. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the responder remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your presentation, I've included a copy of photographs that Officer Thomas has taken at the location. As you can see, this just is not going to work for us. Staff recommendation would be to find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 in order to, 1, clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris, and 2, pay the cost of prosecution in the case as assessed with all within 14 days. Failing which, a fine of $25 per day in the city to do the work, utilizing all any means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure, and Officer Thomas is prepared to answer any questions that the magistrate may have.
Officer Thomas, have you observed the property and the condition?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did they have the beds in the truck and then move it out? I'm trying to follow the photographs.
Yeah. In all manner of
It's been beds. In just about every corner of that property and any vehicle they've had.
Okay, so they clean it up, put it in the truck, and then re-unload it again?
And more appear. I don't know what's exactly going on there. I don't know if they're recycling them somehow, but they do keep appearing. I will say that the owner has evicted this gentleman that lived in the house.
Okay.
But has still not cleaned the property.
Okay. Have we had any contact? Do we get any idea that they're willing to clean the property?
He's willing, but doesn't feel that it's his responsibility.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'll adopt the city's recommendation, but give them 7 days within which to pay the cost and remove the junk.
If it pleases the magistrate, we'd go to the bottom of page 4 of the agenda, COM 120359. This is a case of the City of Ocala versus Yvette M. Cindy Specialized Loan Services, a case involving Officer James Vo, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. A location within the city at 1017 Southeast 13th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. It's a violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. And the parcel ID is 2897-005-004. Legal service has been obtained on 04, 6, and 9 of 2012 for the notice of violation, and 4/6/2012 for the notice of hearing. We legally posted the property on 2/16/2012 for the notice of violation and 4/9/2012 for the notice of hearing. As part of your case, the summary of findings are that Officer James Vo responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Vo added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Vo enabled the registration requirement of the violation to be cleared up. However, the bank has not complied with the overgrown conditions that are in violation. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. I have included as part of your presentation copies of the photographs as indicated by, that Officer Vo took at the scene. Officer Vo is prepared to testify any questions that you may have. And staff recommendation be we find the respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 3495 in order to 1) cut and clean up the property, properly removing any junk and debris, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day, and the city to do the work utilizing any means required with all costs assessed as fine, all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Officer Vo is prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Officer Vo, you observe the property and the condition in these photographs?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the major problem is it's just overgrown weeds, it's just an overgrown yard?
The majority of the property is mowed. There's areas around the perimeter of the property that are heavily overgrown with this, like, you know, tree saplings there and things like that that the neighbors aren't complaining about.
Okay. Okay. And, you've had contact with the bank?
I've had contact with the owner, and I've had contact with the property maintenance, and it has not been resolved.
Okay, I'll adopt the city's recommendation. Find him guilty.
That'll bring us to the top of page 5 of your agenda, which is a parking hearing case. This is case PRK 12. 0237 of the docket. Would have as part of your presentation a copy of the notice of hearing that was issued to the respondent, their plea of not guilty and request for hearing, and their statement as to why they believe they're not guilty. We have photographs indicating that the respondent did not place the handicap hang tag on the car and that their tag is not indicating a handicap vehicle. However, the first picture indicates that they are in a handicap spot. And I would point out that it is clearly marked as a handicap spot with an above grade sign, which is the legal requirement in the state of Florida. Officer Furring is prepared to answer any questions. And staff doesn't have a recommendation for you in this case. Your Honor, if we would allow you to use your best judgment, I would point out that the respondent is not required to attend this hearing. However, they have not showed up for the record.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Is there a way for you guys to identify if the parking permit is indeed that person? They obviously have provided a photocopy of a parking, disabled parking permit.
There is not a way without us contacting DMV and requesting that information. Typically, we don't request that information in these cases. If it's part of your suggestion that we do, I would not object to that information. It'd be nice if the respondent was here to answer that question, but
sure.
I cannot provide you with that information, and that raises a good question in my mind as well.
Sworn testimony, I guess. Her sworn testimony,
yes,
based upon this, is that she had it. It just fell.
Right.
I
don't think it fell. I think she probably forgot to put it in there.
That's a possibility as well. But I don't know. Okay, Officer Furring.
Yes, sir.
You observed the parking. You observed this parking
violation.
Did you see the placard on the floor of the car, or did you even look inside the car?
Not at all. I looked inside the car as well. I do this all the time. Some people place the placard on the dashboard or whatever. I did not observe any.
Okay. And what's the fine we're looking for?
this would be, the city's fine is considerable deduction from the state's fine. Right. The ordinance, the city's fine is $150. Of course, under Chapter 162.07, Paragraph 2, we would also be entitled and shall attempt to collect cost of prosecution as well. In this case, the cost of prosecution were $95.19, thereby bringing the total violation back up to right about what the state charges.
What's the flexibility I have with the fine?
I would leave that totally at your discretion.
I mean, I just didn't know under the ordinance.
The ordinance does not address that.
Okay. I'll find they're guilty and order a $50 fine and pay the administrative cost of the city.
I would point out that the petition requests the reduction of penalty. We've heard Basilio Rodriguez and John LaBeouf. That's the four cases for the LaBeouf case. LaBeouf petition, rather. And that would bring us to, I guess, the end of the docket. I don't guess we have any Massey's on here. Please, the magistrate, the city would respectfully request to have all testimony, evidence, and presentations presented at the hearing this morning entered into the record.
Okay. I will do so. I will adopt and bring into evidence all the photographs, testimony, affidavidats in each of the individual cases. Going back, if we, I don't know if you have anything else. But
no, the city rests.
Okay. Going back to this, the comment about these placards and
yes,
your ability to test them, what is the level of
what
involvement
with
DMV?
We would have to have them present that to us. Mm-hmm. Then we would have to, you know, get our scan like we did in this case.
Right.
And then there is a serial number on the sticker.
Yeah.
We can contact DHSMV and have them advise us whether or not that placard, because you know it, I believe the placard follows the individual.
Right.
So we would then cross-reference the name that's provided to us with that, with the individual. Because technically they can put it in
and
any vehicle they're operating.
Right.
Or being ridden in.
I would think that would be a good practice.
I think I agree with you completely. I think that there is some possibility of some shenanigans going on there.
What?
We are attempting to get there. We are currently, just for your own information, we are currently working with the state to obtain authority to get all registration information given back. The state took that away from everybody in Florida a few months ago. And they required a new requirement due to Homeland Security and some protection things that were involved. They required each agency to enter into an agreement with the state.
Okay.
We have processed that paperwork and we're waiting to hear back from them. I'm assuming that everyone is probably contacting them for the same situation, and it's taking us a little bit of time. As part of that, they also have another system, which Officer Furring has inquired from Tallahassee, that we believe our same contract with the state may allow us to get not David, which the police officers use in their car to obtain criminal history and everything that's involved on a registered driver, but a program called Dave. And what this allows us to do is check all registrant information. So it's a little cut down version of David. So we wouldn't have the full realm of services that a police officer would have, but we will be able to obtain registration information. So as part of that, we may be able to get some more information on these without having to call over to the tag office.
Sure.
In light of the fact that this is the second time we've had a person with a handicap placard appear before you, though, I think your suggestion is well taken, and I'm going to try to get Dave for all of our officers to be able to use in their vehicles on the street, so that as they come up with vehicle, they can obtain registration.
You do have.
It's a marvelous application of technology in my mind. I can't see any reason why we wouldn't do it. We can regulate it. We can tell who's getting what, and make sure that we don't have any abuses in that matter. So your suggestion is well taken, and we will work to implement that for you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything else you need to address?
It is.
Oh, okay. So
yes.
So that's another way we could cross-reference it? So if we get a copy of the DL.
You see her DL.
Yep, her DL number agrees. Her DL number agrees with the sticker number. Okay. So
okay,
that's another way we can check it. I didn't realize that they put
so,
that.
So
it's the same number.
It is the same number.
Okay. Can we reopen that case then?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I will waive the fine and just order to pay the administrative cost at that point then. Completely.
Yes, sir. Okay.
And that, I mean,
so that's an
I mean,
easier way for us to do it. I knew they had a serial number on there. I just didn't realize that that was their driver's license number.
Right. I mean, my thought process behind that, the city, is everybody can make a mistake and forget to put it up or it falls down. I mean, obviously, our goal is to keep folks without handicap permits out of handicap spots. She has one. Just order her to pay the administrative costs for having done that, but no additional fine in that
okay.
instance. Okay. Anything further?
Yeah. Live and learn. That's even easier.
Hey, great. Makes life easy for all of us. Okay, nothing further. We will adjourn.
Stop on this, Eric.
Okay, I see now.